My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. The biblical book of Exodus tells the story of the Israelites escaping slavery under the Pharaoh and being gifted by God with an edible substance from heaven called manna during their 40 years in the desert. Are there personal pharaohs that we need freedom from today, and is there a spiritual manna that will nourish us on our journey? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Dr. Davina Katulski, says that by listening and following guidance from our higher consciousness, we may achieve this liberation and experience miracles. Davina S. Katulski, Ph.D., is a licensed clinical psychologist, sought-after speaker, and award-winning best-selling author with a thriving private practice in California and Washington and an international life coaching practice. She helps clients move through fear, self-doubt, transition, creative blocks, grief, loss, and trauma to become resilient, empowered, and successful individuals. Her website is DavinaKatulski.com, and she joins me this week to share her path and latest book, The Manna Paradigm Shift, Creating the Consciousness of Abundance and Freedom. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Dr. Davina Katulski. Welcome, Dr. Davina.
Thank you, Victor. Thanks for having me here today.
Dr. Davina, before we discuss your latest book, The Manna Paradigm Shift, let's discuss your path and how you received your calling as a clinical psychologist and healer.
Well, I definitely think those are different, a little bit different moments in my life, but I knew I wanted to be like a therapist or a psychologist as a young person, because I saw that people were kind of doing things, getting in their own way, harming themselves. And I wanted to understand, how can we improve our coping when bad things happen? How can we improve our communication? How can we just address the things that are hurting us or that we're coming up against? So I got very interested in psychology as a young person, and also helping people address substance abuse issues. So that was a kind of an early calling. I myself came out as an LGBT person in my teenage years and had originally turned to alcohol as a way to cope, and then realized again that that was very dysfunctional. And so I got into 12-step programs as a young person and kind of got on the therapy path in that regard, and just continued, went into graduate school and wanted to look at different dynamics that come up with people, family dynamics, trauma, that kind of thing. And then later, I would say, after I got my PhD in clinical psychology, that's when it sort of opened up the opportunity for the healing path. And I think of the healing path as more of a spiritual path. So I had done the mental work, the academic work, but it wasn't until I was about 26, that was when I graduated with my PhD, that there was space I met with a shaman and I worked with some other people, and I realized that healing was different than psychotherapy. And got involved, started walking a spiritual path. And that's kind of taken me all over the place, because I think when we're on a spiritual journey, there's always more to learn about ourselves, our soul, the unfolding of our soul.
Absolutely. Within your practice, your offerings include both past life regression and spiritual counseling. How did you come to embrace these in your practice?
Great question. So yeah, I have a regular clinical psychotherapy practice that's very traditional, working with folks with depression, anxiety, couples therapy, things like that. But I also have gone and done separate certifications And I'm a licensed agape spiritual practitioner. That's a science of mind kind of approach. And I also studied with Dr. Brian Weiss, who wrote the book Many Masters, Many Lives, and became certified in past life regression. And so while I have a traditional psychotherapy practice, I also people can also work with me separately as a spiritual practitioner, where we pray together, we meditate, we look at where is the divine wanting to reveal itself in your life, and you know what's happening, and interpreting things from a spiritual perspective, and that is a separate practice. And then the same thing with the past life regression. While it is a technique that I can use in psychotherapy, if somebody asks me about that, I also work separately with people providing individual past life regressions, and sometimes I do group past life regressions. And what got me interested in that was I've always been interested in reincarnation. As a young person, I remembered a past life and would actually talk about it, much to the eye rolling of my parents. But I had always felt that this wasn't my first life. And when I was working with psychotherapy clients, every once in a while, people would have an issue and they'd maybe be stuck in a pattern with someone that just seemed beyond this lifetime, or they would have just met somebody and it would be like, oh my God, I feel like I've known this person forever. And so I realized that I wanted to learn more about how to work with people and help them connect with past life wisdom. And so I read all of Dr. Weiss's books. They were amazing. And then I went to some one-day trainings with him and had, amazing experiences, listened to other people's experiences of past life wisdom and what came out of a regression. And then I decided to train with him. And it's been amazing. During the pandemic, the number of folks reaching out for past life work just was exponential. And I think it's because we were dealing with, death, and dying was just such a, it was a part of everyone's life. We were watching the numbers rise. We were losing friends and family members. And I think for many, many people, it was bringing up, like, I need to understand what happens when we die. And is there something more? And why am I here? And so during the pandemic, with everyone locked inside, really struggling with issues of death and dying, I ended up doing even more than I was doing before and took it onto Zoom and was working really with folks around the world, around the globe, addressing these issues and wanting to understand what had happened in previous lifetimes and kind of understanding issues that were plaguing them, so to speak, in this moment, and what their possible origins were in previous lifetimes. So, they're very different kinds of work. I mean, sometimes there's an overlap. We might have depression that's related to past life stuff, but it's also current life stuff. But it's often, people come to therapy for different reasons than they come to past life regression work, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. What is a past life regression session with you like, and what are some of the positive results your clients have experienced?
So I utilize, so I've trained with Dr. Weiss, and then I've sort of combined several of the scripts and things that he had created to have my own. And I lead people through a progressive relaxation to get them very, very relaxed, because part of the process is to be in a deep state of relaxation and focus. And then I take them back to a childhood experience, and we just, whatever comes up for them, we kind of set the intent that their highest self knows what to bring up and what to focus on. So after they're relaxed, we go back to a childhood memory, then we go to the womb, and then we go back to the past life and explore what past life wants to come up, what's happening in it, what's important about it. And then they go through the dying experience, and then they meet with their spirit guide and ask their spirit guide to communicate to them in a way that they can understand what the purpose of that life was and what the lesson of that lifetime was, why they needed to learn it, and how it's applicable in this current lifetime, and then anything else that they need to know. So, you know, some people tell people what their past lives are. I don't do that. I provide an experience for a person to connect with their own inner knowing. And then some people might say, well, how do I know this is real or not? And I say, well, it's not, you know, you don't have to know if it's real or not. We can look at it metaphorically. So you get to decide if it's real or not. And if you have a sense of healthy skepticism about it, that's fine. Let's look at it metaphorically. You know, what is your still your higher mind sharing with you? Why is it sharing this with you? And how can you take that in and take that lesson, that information, and apply it to where you are in your life right now? And that's very helpful for people. I also just, you know, people say, well, how do I know it's real or not? And I'm like, well, again, this is for you to discern. But I personally find that, and I'll just ask them, like, when you do when you visualize and, you know, you're doing a visualization, do you tend to have the level of emotion come up that you did in the regression? So, you know, for example, if somebody, a man might be remembering being a woman and giving birth and is just feeling all the feelings of going through the labor pains and crying when, you know, they see their baby, hold their baby for the first time. And, you know, again, I might say, you know, if you did a visualization like that, you know, because it's self-generated. I'm not amping it up or tamping it down in any way. I'm just holding space and asking questions, but they'll be like, yeah, that probably would not happen if I was just visualizing, you know, randomly giving birth to a child or something like that. Or they'll remember, you know, they'll remember something very sad, the loss of someone, and they're just, you know, crying and whatnot. So someone from a past life. And so again, it's powerful stuff. I just kind of open the door. I hold the space and I allow people to have the experience. And my socks are always, you know, knocked off. I'm always really amazed by what comes out. And, you know, and also having had my own past life experiences, just really beautiful, fascinating, and unexpected.
And what are some of the positive results your clients have experienced?
Great question. So they have felt a sense of deep peace and release. They've been able to forgive themselves. Some people have reported diminished pain because they were able to identify where the pain that doctors could find no reason for in this lifetime. They were able to identify that. They've been able to identify disordered eating patterns because they've remembered when they were starving to death for whatever reason. And so there's like an integration of that. People have felt a greater sense of love because they've remembered being loved and connecting in a past life. And they've been able to then know what that feels like and bring that forward into this lifetime. What else? Yeah, just an understanding. Some people have had to look at the fact that I've had several people remember lives where they committed suicide, and it has been a motivator to really focus on getting more help in this lifetime and not going in that direction in this lifetime.
So do you see a trend of life lessons coming through from which we prosper and grow?
Absolutely. Yeah. And a big one is helping people open their hearts because they've been hurt in past lives and they're coming into this lifetime with their hearts closed, and they want to figure out what that's about and how to open up and trust and love again.
Please tell us also about the Agape spiritual counseling practice and what that entails.
Yeah. So the Agape International Spiritual Center is a spiritual community in Los Angeles, California. It originally was connected with the Ernest Holmes Religious Science or Science of Mind Centers for Spiritual Living, which are a non-denominational kind of new age spiritual communities throughout the country. And Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith is the spiritual leader of the Agape International Spiritual Center. You may have seen him on The Secret. He's written several books, including The Answer Is You, and spiritual liberation. And he's been on Oprah multiple times. And so the Agape International Spiritual Center is his baby. He split off from the Centers for Spiritual Living, I think in the 80s, because of his experiences of racial discrimination within the spiritual communities there. And also because he received a calling from spirit that it was time to create a beloved community similar to the one that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had spoken, written about, visioned about. And so similar to the other Centers for Spiritual Living, it's a 5-year program of becoming like a lay spiritual person. They also have, you can become a minister if you do ministerial school, but it's sort of a step below a minister. And what a spiritual practitioner, an Agape spiritual practitioner does is we pray with folks, we do affirmative prayer or spiritual mind treatments. We know the oneness of all of us. We know that each person is created in the image and likeness of the divine, and that each person is created whole, perfect, and complete, and that separation from spirit is what makes us feel a sense of dis-ease, if you will, not disease, but dis-ease in ourself is when we cut ourselves off from that connection or from knowing our own wholeness and spiritual perfection. So as spiritual practitioners, we pray, we do affirmative prayer, we lead meditation, we look at what's showing up in someone's life and try to understand how is this the divine trying to express itself, what is wanting to be known here, what is wanting to be healed here. Spiritual practitioners can perform weddings, they can provide memorials and celebrations of life, and other kinds of, they can do, spiritual counseling for couples, individuals, premarital counseling, things like that.
Wonderful. Your first book, It's Never Too Late to Be Yourself, is a bestseller and was awarded the Nautilus Award, the most prestigious literary award available for personal growth books. What inspired this book, and what do you share with your readers?
Thank you. Yeah, so Victor, I wanted to write a book that would basically be kind of like a life coach or a therapist in a book, and that would really take people on a personal journey back to themselves, helping them to listen to their own inner knowing, their inner compass, and come back, which I think of as your heart, like coming back to your heart's wisdom, your own truth. And not everybody can afford therapy. Not everybody can afford a life coach. So I wanted to create a book that was really the process that I would, take somebody through if I was working with them on it, let's say as their life coach, because I'm also a life coach, did training with the Coaches Training Institute, et cetera. So it's about understanding how we think and how we feel is different. And in Western culture, we often give more faith to the mental than we do to the emotional. And we expect the mind to lead, and we're discouraged from, following our hearts or listening to our hearts. And I think that while it is important to, have rational thinking and to listen to our mind, I think that it is important that the heart leads and the mind follows and not the other way around. And yet because when we're connected to our hearts, we're more loving people, we're more gentle, we're connected to intuition, we're connected to the divine. But the thing is that how do we listen to our heart if it's shut down, if we're tuning it out, if we're spending all of our time in just our executive functions and our logic? And I think that's also, has to do with what do we value more in culture? Is it more of a masculine approach to things or a feminine approach to things? And I think it's important that we have both the divine feminine and the sacred masculine. And so it's never too late to be yourself. Focuses on how to open up your heart, how to get connected to your heart, how to listen to your heart, how to know the difference between what's coming from the head and the heart, what the difference between intuition and fear, what that looks like, and how to be with our fears and know what the difference is. Because a lot of times our minds generate intense fear, and it limits us from moving forward, taking chances, that kind of thing, or following our dreams. And so we really, you know, we settle rather than thrive.
And in our next segment, we're going to talk about your latest book, The Mana Paradigm Shift. My guest, Dr. Davina Katulski. Dr. Davina, please tell our listeners where they can get your books and find out more about you and your amazing work.
Thank you, Victor. Well, they can go to my website, davinakatulski.com. And if they go there, they'll find a pop-up that they can download a free chapter of It's Never Too Late to Be Yourself. Or they can go to the Mana Paradigm Shift, themanaparadigmshift.com, and they can get a free chapter. I think that one's an audio chapter of the Mana Paradigm Shift. But the books are available everywhere books are sold. They're available on Kindle and ebook, on Nook. They're available at your favorite independent booksellers online, or you can go there and order directly, or all the other retailers, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Kobo, Book Depository, Goodreads, etc.
And what else do you offer on your website?
If you go to my website, you will see separate links for my life coaching practice, past life regression work, and psychotherapy. And I'm only licensed to do psychotherapy in the states of Oregon, Washington, and California. So, and again, that's for psychotherapy, which is separate. If you want to do an individual past life regression, which is not therapy, it is a guided past life regression process, that can be done through Zoom wherever you're at.
And we'll be back with more of Dr. Davina after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Dr. Davina Katulski, her book, The Mana Paradigm Shift, Creating the Consciousness of Abundance and Freedom. Tell us about what inspired that great book.
Well, what inspired it was that it was definitely a divine download, but it was knowing that the universe really does give us what we need when we need it. I'd been through several personal experiences where transitions, things needed to change, and I had to take these leaps of faith. And I'll talk about those in just a minute. But it was through that process that I learned that the universe, the divine, provides. So I'll give you one example that I talk about in the book. It was 2008. And I was working for the federal government as a clinical psychologist. I worked for the Department of Justice in a prison. And I just kept getting the inner knowing that it was time to leave. A few years earlier, I'd had an experience where I was asked to do something that I really should not have been asked to do. And it wasn't in alignment with my value system. And I felt like I was able to get out of doing it, but I felt like, the government really owns me. And if I say no to this request that they think is reasonable, but it's not in the policies of how I was hired, I'm not going to be able to pay my mortgage. I'm going to have a lot of challenges in my life. And I didn't like that feeling. I didn't like feeling like I didn't have control over my life and someone else did. So I had to kind of put that aside for a while and work on myself and my spiritual growth. And then I got to a place where I was like, okay, I need to take a leap and I need to let this go. And I need to put spirit first in my life. And I need to be able to follow my inner moral compass and not let anything or anyone else be in front of that. And which, you know, is kind of a radical way to live and for many, and to, you know, say that to my boss. And so, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to give notice and I'm going to go figure this out on my own. And I just needed to start from scratch. So I was leaping and trusting that the net was going to appear, which isn't for everybody, just to say. So I gave my boss notice and he basically told me I was an idiot. And I said, okay. And he was like, why would you leave a stable government job where you have all of these benefits? And in 12 years, you can retire and you can get 2/3 of your salary for the rest of your life. And I said, you know, I hear you. And all of those things on paper sound really good. But I knew that this was my one precious life and that if I was going to stay, it would be, I would be compromising my soul's growth and unfoldment. And so I said, you know, I'm going to give you 3 months notice so that there's time to transition all of these other things that I'm doing, but I'm leaving. And the very next day on the news, it was September 13th or whatever in 2008, they said, we're going into a recession. And, you know, basically, he's like, you're changing your mind, right? We're heading into a recession. And I said, no, I'm taking this leap of faith. And so I started a private practice with maybe 2 clients and started working on myself. And I don't know how to explain it exactly, but it's like if you, and I'm not, I don't identify as Christian per se. I don't identify with any particular religion. I'm of Jewish ancestry, but I read the Bible. I've read, you know, the Torah and the New Testament. And again, I consider myself a spiritual person, believing that, you know, Jesus and Buddha were incredible teachers and spiritual avatars. And, you know, in the Bible, it talks about how, you know, different miracles that, you know, from the burning bush to manna from heaven, which we'll talk about, to the loaves and fishes. And what I experienced that year was that somehow things multiplied. Somehow, even though my income went down to 1/3 of what it was, I had more than enough. Things worked out, and as needed, things would show up. If I needed clients, they would start to show up. Connections were made. Opportunities came together. It was truly mind-boggling. And it not only happened once, but it happened twice. It happened a second time when I moved my practice from the San Francisco Bay Area to Los Angeles. And again, I saw that when you lean into spirit, and you're following your truth, you're listening, the universe gives you what you need. It is scary to trust spirit, you know, and it is powerful. And so, yeah, that's what I learned. I wanted to share that with other people because I saw, you know, both in my psychotherapy practice and in my coaching practice, I saw people who hated their jobs or they were in a very abusive or dysfunctional marriage or relationship or situation, and they wanted to make a change, but what held them there, what, you know, like the golden handcuffs, or the how will I support myself, how will I survive? And it was heartbreaking because people were staying in situations that were absolutely destructive to them and, you know, kept them from thriving or living their dreams or pursuing their art or other ways of being in the world that would be more pro-social and healthier for them and their families. You know, maybe they wanted to spend more time with their kids, or they wanted to create something that actually had a lot more value to all of us, but it would mean letting go of something that, you know, again, jumping without the net, or, you know, just taking that leap of faith. And so I wanted to write a book to help people understand how to do that. You know, how do you trust God? How do you take that leap of faith? And I had heard of the Exodus, and every year at Passover, if you're of Jewish descent, or if you know someone who is of Jewish descent, perhaps you've participated in a Passover Seder. And a Passover Seder is a celebration of liberation and justice over tyranny. And it's in the Old Testament, and it's where Moses has been gone out to the desert, and the burning bush is God. You know, God comes to speak to Moses through the burning bush and says, you know, you need to go back and tell Pharaoh to let the slaves, the Israelite slaves, go, the Hebrews go. And I mean, there's a lot that could be told about, you know, Moses and his stutter, and he was like wanting to reject it and ask my brother, you know, Aaron, who's more well-spoken than me, et cetera, et cetera. But Moses went back and said to Pharaoh, you know, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. And then all the plagues were sent, et cetera. But what happened was eventually Pharaoh said, fine, you know, you all can leave, but you have to leave now with what, you know, just what's on your back. And so the Israelites, or the Hebrews, they fled Egypt, and then they got to the Red Sea, and, you know, they started to curse at Moses. What are you doing? Why did you do this to us? We were comfortable back there. And now we're, you know, here's this Red Sea. And then God parts the Red Sea after, you know, someone started going in and trusting that if God said there was a way would be made. And then basically they're out in the desert for 40 years. But while they're out there, they again start to curse Moses and say, why did you, you know, make us leave Egypt? We were slaves, but we knew where our food was coming from. We knew where our beds were, et cetera. And so, you know, God, Moses negotiated with God, or talked to God, and God said, okay, I will give you manna from heaven, and you will get what you need day by day, but it cannot be hoarded. It will spoil, but every day I'll give you what you need. And so to me, that spawned the notion of the manna paradigm shift, you know, and living from a manna mindset. And that is, and so the manna paradigm shift is when you declare in your life, you know, I am choosing freedom. I am not going to be stuck and giving my power away. You know, I'm going to choose freedom. And the second step is to turn away from, you know, mental subjugation. So, you know, it's really looking at what are the chains that we put on ourselves, the mental chains that we put on ourselves. What are the limited thinking that we engage in, fear-based thinking. So, you know, challenging those fear thoughts and freeing ourselves from that mental subjugation. And then the third step is connecting with a source greater than yourself. So you don't have to know how to do it, but there's a universe that does. There is, there's a way to move forward in connecting with that higher mind.
As you shared, the Exodus story is one of liberation and freedom from the Pharaoh. What are the Pharaohs that we need liberation and freedom from today?
Yeah, there are so many. You know, money is that false god. You know, when we believe that money is our source, not spirit or the universe, corporations are our pharaohs. The government can be our pharaohs, telling us, you know, how. The media can be a pharaoh, like limiting our thinking, making us feel afraid. All of those things. I mean, all of those things can be useful. The government, corporations, and money and the media can play a positive role in our lives, but they can also play a role that gets us to feel afraid and to feel insignificant and disconnected from our power.
And some of those are internal pharaohs.
Right. And the term Egypt in Hebrew, the word is Mitzrayim, which means narrow places or constrictions. And so there we have that internal Egypt, which is our narrow thinking, the constricted thinking that we have that keeps us playing small, keeps us stuck.
In the foreword to the book, you offer the Manna Manifesto. Please share that with our listeners.
Yeah, so the Manna Mindset Manifesto is just something you can say to yourself every day, and it goes like this. I choose freedom. I am a sovereign being free from enslavement. I have a direct connection with the source of all life. The universe is my source and sufficiency in all things. All of my needs are met by the universe in perfect timing. I receive manna from heaven daily, and I am grateful.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. What are the steps to making the manna paradigm shift?
So again, choosing your freedom, making a choice, a conscious choice that you're going to live your life from that place of being a sovereign being, throwing off your mental subjugation and addressing those mental chains, and then aligning yourself with the higher power, the source, and really focusing on creating a manna mindset and staying in manna consciousness. And that is a mindset of positive expectancy, focusing on personal agency, gratitude, and appreciation. And manna is not just money or food. It's a material need, like an answered prayer. It's a form of spiritual nourishment. It's what keeps you going. And it's looking for what am I being gifted by life today? What is the opportunity that's showing up for me today? What's going well in my life? What's being connected for me? And so being open to that. And the other piece of it is focusing on, again, living by manna and not by the laws of man.
Explain that, please.
So, again, we want to focus on that we are spiritual beings first, and that we have the power to attract positive energy and positive experiences into our lives, and to connect with a higher mind that is all, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, omniactive. And that when we focus on gratitude and appreciation, when we trust ourselves and others in the world, we are creating an elevated consciousness that is beyond the consciousness of the everyday. But it takes energy, it takes focus. We've got to train our minds to get there. And that when we keep going back to that, we are living in a more spiritual, a higher vibration, if you will. And so, having empowering thoughts and making statements like, I'm always in the right place at the right time. All of my needs are met in perfect timing. The money comes at the right time. Good things are always happening to me. Focusing on those kinds of things and taking your focus away from the news, for example. So like when in 2000 and let's say 2009, while we were in the middle of this recession, I was thriving. I was charging more money for therapy sessions than I ever had before. I was getting clients. People were coming to me. They were wanting to work with me. And I went to a party, and this guy had just started his practice, and he was, talking about, he was almost doing therapy for free because no one wanted to pay. He couldn't start a practice, and nothing was working out. And it, that wasn't my, and he was like, you know, this recession. And I was like, well, that's not my experience. And I think part of why it wasn't my experience was during that time, I was, when I had left the prison, I was focusing on my consciousness. I was listening to Tony Robbins tapes. I was doing my spiritual practices, meditating. And I remember Tony Robbins specifically talking about a recession that took place in 1992. I had never even heard of a recession before. And yet that was when I was in graduate school and studying, and you know, it didn't even register on didn't even blip on my screen. And what I realized was that whatever we give our power to grows. And so you can focus on the, race consciousness of like, what are we focused on? What are our worries about as a human, as a planet? What are we all focused on, and generate more of that? Or you can focus on thriving and freedom and creating beauty and joy and love in the world, and you'll create that. Or you can focus on how it's all going to hell, and you'll create more of that. I'm not saying those things won't still happen, but again, how we, if our ability to live in an elevated state and raise our vibration and to change our thoughts really does change our experience.
My guest is Dr. Davina Kotulski. Her book, The Mana Paradigm Shift. We'll be back with more after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Dr. Davina Kotulski, her book, The Mana Paradigm Shift. One of the focuses of the mana mindset is to be intentional with your words, thoughts, and focus. Why is intention so important?
Well, it's kind of like if you have a beautiful garden, and you know, you've got your dirt all there and you're ready to plant something. If you're not intentionally planting and cultivating, planting seeds of what you want and cultivating that, the weeds will grow in there and take over. And so you may not get carrots, you may just get weeds and, you know, things that are thorny and prickly and whatnot. And so our mind is like that. So we want to be planting intentional thoughts of what we want to create in our lives and not letting fear or lack or scarcity thoughts take over, self-judgment thoughts, attack thoughts of ourselves or others. When we allow those thoughts to grow, it just creates chaos in our lives. But when we intentionally plant seeds of abundance, of love, of freedom, of trust, of beauty, then again, we are creating, we're designing our life with intention. We're creating, it's out picturing in a way that is a life of intention.
Someone said energy flows where intention goes.
Yes. Yes.
You also say in the Mana Mindset that we should expect miracles. How may we recognize them?
Yeah, so miracles can be small things like a change of perception, or they can be synchronicities that show up in our lives. Again, the miracle of manna is that it's answered prayer. It's things showing up just when we need it. So, for example, when I was out on the road doing a book tour with It's Never Too Late to Be Yourself and leading workshops, one of the participants shared that her husband had died and she had been saddled with enormous bills that like maybe over $100,000 worth of bills, and she had no idea how she was going to pay them. And she shared that she had put them aside and prayed over them, you know, every day for answers and to get help with this. And I'm not going to remember this exactly. It is in the book. But something happened and she ended up connecting with the people that did the billing somehow. And they literally just changed the numbers and wiped away a bunch of debt. There was some way they were able to do it. I don't think it was fraud. It was like some way that they were able to find some grants and do some things. And they were able to wipe away thousands of dollars of the debt. She called a credit card company and she had a bunch of debt with that. And she found out from the credit card company that her late husband had taken out insurance on the credit card. And so because this insurance was there and because he had died, it allowed all of his credit card debt to be paid off with the insurance. And so it was an amazing miracle that had shown up. And so we're looking at things like that. We're looking at, answered prayer. You and I were talking offline about health issues, but people have amazing health miracles where they've been diagnosed with something, they're treating it, and it looks like they're, you know, it's the end of the road, and then something happens and takes place and they're cured. And this happens more often than we realize. It is always, to me, mind-blowing when it happens. But like there's a book, Anita Morjani's Dying to Be Me, where, you know, she had fourth stage cancer. She did a bunch of prayers and healing and affirmations, and the cancer, stage four cancer, went away. So, you know, miracles can be big like that, or they can be, you know, connections that are made. You go to a coffee shop and suddenly you meet somebody and your life is transformed in a small way at first. They lead you to the next job, or they lead you to the next love of your life, whatever it is. But it's being open for miracle consciousness.
In the Mana Paradigm Shift, you offer the 9 fundamental affirmations. Would you please share one or two with us?
Yeah. So one of them is to allow a new vision to emerge. So letting go of everything that is and beginning to allow a new vision of how you'd like things to be, or what would feel good to you. And, you know, so instead of focusing on maybe the disease, you focus on wellness. Instead of focusing on, you know, not having the apartment you want to live in, you allow a new vision of seeing your apartment with the, you know, the beautiful light, the nice neighborhood, the carpet, whatever it is that you want. You see yourself enjoying yourself in your home. So that's one, is allowing a new vision. We talked about being intentional with your words and thoughts and focus. Another is to act as if through your words and deeds. And I did a lot of work in the early 2000s with the marriage equality movement for marriage for LGBTQ people. And, you know, part of that was envisioning a world. What does it look like? What's the world like when, you know, same-sex couples or lesbian and gay couples have the right to marry? What does that world look like? What do their families look like? And what's different on our planet when we treat people more equally? And did a lot of visioning on that and feeling into the vibration of what that looks and feels like. And acting as if, like right now, for example, one of our things that we're all dealing with is, you know, climate change, erratic climate. And we could spend more time envisioning, what does a world look like where we're living harmoniously with Mother Earth? What does the world look like when we have a climate that isn't lashing out against us or whatever? That would be one example. Or let's say, I'll pick another one. Like, let's say healthcare, universal healthcare. What would it look like if we had a world with where everyone had access to healthcare? What might be different? And then, you know, acting as if, so putting yourself in that future of, you know, yes, when we all have healthcare, or affirming that, something like that. I'm kind of giving some random examples, but, you know, you could act as if you have that home, or you act as if you have that relationship, and or that health, whatever it is.
And see it as a fait accompli.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And one more, I'll just end with this, is to stay present and follow the flow, which you and I were talking about earlier offline, how important that is to stay present and to follow the flow. When you are living in the now, you can listen to those inner nudges, those intuitive knowings, those divine downloads, the God voice in your ear, your higher self speaking to you. And you follow that. You see where it takes you. So you get in your car, and all of a sudden you have this internal sense to turn left instead of right, and to go to, you know, this coffee shop instead of that one, or this store. And, you know, you're in the right place at the right time, and something happens, and, you know, you have a conversation with somebody that leads to the next thing or the next thing. These are experiments that you can try in your own life. But when you're in the present, you're open to that divine wisdom to guide you.
Absolutely. What would you like readers to take away from the Mana Paradigm Shift?
Well, I'd like them to, first of all, get a copy of the book, which, again, is available as an ebook or a Kindle or a paperback. It's also available as an audiobook. I did do an audiobook, so you can listen to it and drive or walk and exercise as well. But I would love to invite people to get a copy of the book and to practice, to read it, and to step into the 30-day Mana Challenge, and let your life be changed. So what ultimately beyond that is that you're worth it, your freedom is worth it. Choose freedom, and choose to elevate your vibration, get into the Mana consciousness, and change your life so that you can be happier and live a life of freedom and abundance.
My guest, Dr. Davina Katulski, her book, The Mana Paradigm Shift, Creating the Consciousness of Abundance and Freedom. Dr. Davina, please, one more time, tell our listeners where they can get your books and find out more about you and your amazing work.
So thank you, Victor. You can go to my website, Davina, D-A-V-I-N-A, Kotulski, K-O-T-U-L-S-K-I.com. And there you can read more about what I do and download a free chapter of It's Never Too Late to Be Yourself. You can also go to themanaparadigmshift.com. That's themanaparadigmshift.com. And you can download a free audio chapter of the Mana Paradigm Shift book.
And on your website, what else do you offer?
And on the website, you can find more information about past life regression, the books, spiritual counseling, life coaching, or psychotherapy.
Dr. Davina, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your experience and wisdom and this wonderful work that you do with our listeners.
Thank you so much, Victor. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.